From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Paul at Troas and Assos, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in John chapter 17 and verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. It is a sweet and blessed event which will occur to all believers in God's own time, the going home to be with Jesus. In a few more years, the Lord's soldiers who are now fighting the good fight of faith will have done with conflict and have entered into the joy of their Lord. But although Christ prays that His people may eventually be with Him where He is, He does not ask that they may be taken at once away from this world to heaven. He wishes them to stay here. Yet how frequently does the wearied pilgrim put up the prayer, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. But Christ does not pray like that. He leaves us in His Father's hands, until, like shocks of corn fully ripe, we shall each be gathered into our Master's garner. Jesus does not plead for our instant removal by death, for to abide in the flesh is needful for others, if not profitable for ourselves. He asks that we may be kept from evil, but He never asks for us to be admitted to the inheritance in glory till we are of full age. Christians often want to die when they have any trouble. Ask them why, and they tell you, because we would be with the Lord. We fear it is not so much because they are longing to be with the Lord, as because they desire to get rid of their troubles. Else they would feel the same wish to die at other times, when not under the pressure of trial. They want to go home, not so much for the Savior's company, as to be at rest. Now it is quite right to desire to depart if we can do it in the same spirit that Paul did, because to be with Christ is far better. But the wish to escape from trouble is a selfish one. Rather, let your care and wish be to glorify God by your life here as long as He pleases, even though it be in the midst of toil and conflict and suffering, and leave Him to say when it is enough.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Having concluded his third missionary journey, Paul started back toward Jerusalem. As Dr. Cairns has shown, Paul felt led of the Spirit to return to Jerusalem, knowing that he probably would be arrested there. On the way, he stopped at four different locations. His experience in each of those places teaches a number of important truths. In Troas, we see something of the biblical teaching about worship and fellowship, with particular emphasis upon the proper observance of the Lord's Day. Leaving Troas, Paul went on foot toward Assos, 20 miles away. As he contemplated the climax of his missionary work, it seems that he wanted to be alone with the Lord, something all believers need as they seek to serve God. Now, to conclude this message, Paul at Troas and Assos, here is Dr. Cairns.
Let's remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do not profane the Sabbath day. Do not do work which is unnecessary on the Sabbath day. Do not give employment to people who would not need to be working without your giving them employment on the Sabbath day. Oh, I know that this is totally, completely out of line with modern evangelical thinking. I know when I say this, I'm going against not just the current of thought in modern America and the modern world. I suppose I'm going against 95%, maybe more, of even those whom we love and work with in the gospel. And I trust you remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I tell you, God blesses those who honor Him. May God enable us so to do. I must leave the rest of their worship and fellowship in Troas, otherwise we'll never get out of Troas. And there are other places to visit. You can think of their remembrance of the Lord's Day. And Paul's performance of his duty, preaching the gospel and raising the dead, preaching the gospel and seeing the spiritually dead raised again in salvation. Now think of Assos, verse 13, chapter 20. We went before to ship and sealed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul. Now watch this carefully. For so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. He went alone on foot, while the rest went by ship. Journey of something over 20 miles. And of course he didn't have a car, he didn't even have a bicycle, nor he didn't have a highway. It was a long, hard, arduous slog. Why did he do it? I've heard people say Paul did this because he was emphasizing that there's a need for Christians to take bodily exercise. Well, you could say that, but I think you're reading a bit into it. Why did he do it? I'll tell you why. The great climax of Paul's labors was at hand. All the strands of his life now were being gathered in together into one mighty ball of service for God. Here he is. He has already been very busy. People have been pressing in upon him. If he goes in the ship, he's going to be surrounded again by people. And so he sets out alone. And here he has solitude and strengthening. Let me tell you, first of all, there's communion. If you're going to do anything for God, you have to get alone with God. If you're ever going to be of use to God, then there's got to be the time somehow or other, some place or other, where you get alone with God. Paul was experiencing something that every missionary and every preacher experiences. You can get so busy about the work of God that you are not busy with God himself. Paul was busy about God's work, but he was not willing to miss out with God, even to do God's work. And so he lets the others journey by ship, and he goes alone. Goodbye to all his companions. Oh, I'm sure it was hard. I'm sure at times he found it lonely. I'm sure his feet hurt. I'm sure he could have found a million reasons to go the easier way. But no, in his heart he realized the great climax of my life is about me, and I must meet with God. Oh, that burning passion would get into our hearts. Oh, that we would realize whatever we do, we must have the Lord's blessing. We must get alone with God. My friend, if there's not the place in your life of daily sweet communion with God, you're missing out. You'll never amount to anything for God. You'll never go any place in the center of God's will until you give the Lord your time. There must be the place of solitude. And that solitude will be a place of strengthening. I believe in that communion his conviction of heart was even strengthened to go up to Jerusalem. Now, as I say, this has caused a lot of controversy. The Christians in Tyre, chapter 21 and verse 4, said to him through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And many people have said, I was reading a very well-known American preacher last night. I was checking all the authorities to see what they all said. And this man said that Paul had been told definitely not to go, and he was in disobedience going up to Jerusalem. But was he? It sounds very clear that he should not go up to Jerusalem. If that's the only text in the Bible, we would have to agree with that preacher. I have thought of this. I remember a time when I would have come out quite openly and said, yes, Paul disobeyed God in going up to Jerusalem. But you know, as I have studied this book of Acts and as I have studied the life of this man, Paul, I'm more than a little wary that a pygmy such as I am should be found criticizing the greatest spiritual giant God has given to his church since Pentecost. I will have to criticize him a little later. But on this occasion, I think that you'll find the compulsion he felt. Look at chapter 20, verse 22. Now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, Now, I know that was his own spirit. It was something in Paul which constrained him to go to Jerusalem, to his own city, to his own country. But look at verse 24. I've never heard anybody even use this verse in the controversy, and yet to me it settles it. This is what changed my mind. Make me clear that Paul was in the will of God going to Jerusalem. He says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might," notice this, "so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry, finish the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus." Paul is stating, "I have received a ministry of the Lord, and if I am to finish that ministry, I have to go to Jerusalem." Was the inspired apostle wrong in that? If he's wrong in that, can he be right in the next sentence when he speaks of the whole counsel of God, or the gospel of the grace of God and the kingdom of God? Can he be right in that and wrong in his ministry? To finish his ministry, to be faithful to God, he had to go. So what does it mean that through the Spirit they told me was not to go up to Jerusalem? Well, Paul gives you the meaning himself, because in verse 23 he says, "See if that," I don't know what's going to befall me, "see if that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide or await me." He says, wherever I go, the Holy Ghost has people whom he has instructed to tell me that there await bonds and afflictions. And I believe that chapter 21, verse 4 must be interpreted in the light of that. That what was through the Spirit was the intimation of the bonds and the afflictions. It could well be that we're to understand that the Christians jumped to the conclusion, therefore he ought not to go. Certainly Agabus a little later says, "You're going to be bound." Paul says, "I don't care whether I'm bound or killed to finish my ministry. I've got to go." The compulsion of his heart. Let me say this. If Paul was out of the will of God in going to Jerusalem, I would to God that any time you and I ever feel the Lord, it was with the same love for Christ and the same burden of heart. Just to finish my course, Paul says, I'm willing to live and I'm willing to die. And on that lonely road from Troas to Assos, as he met alone with God, that compulsion grew within his heart. And he said, whatever the cost may be, I'm going through with God. I'm going through with God. You know, if there's one thing missing in this day of lax and easy Christianity, surely this is it. We used to sing at the Martyrs' Memorial. It was Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church in those days. The Easter Convention services, we used to sing some of these old hymns of consecration. I remember the words, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." My, how we sang that. "Though none should follow, or though none should join me, still I will follow, no turning back." Oh, to have a heart that's burdened and burning with a compulsive desire to serve the Lord Christ. I think it was Dr. Bob Sr. who said something like, "You can judge a man's character by what it takes to stop him." Doesn't take much to stop God's people nowadays. They have a sniffle. That's enough to keep us from the prayer meeting. We cough once every 2 days. We're dying of consumption or TB or something, so we can't go out to church. We're too busy, so we can't go after the ungodly. work of God grinds to a halt for the lack of compulsion in the hearts of God's people. Let me put this to you. So often, even when Christians do what they ought to be doing, they do it without heart. They do it without heart. I was reading a little of a great preacher, G. Campbell Morgan, and he was lecturing on preaching. And he said, I hear of men who handle a text well. As a preacher who has handled a text as a failure. But the preacher who is handled by the text, that's the success. He talked about passion in preaching. Now, this is a thing that I have watched in preachers. I have heard preachers act as if they had passion. I have seen preachers dramatize the sermon and the setup around it in order to convey a non-existent passion. Morgan said a very true thing. He said, painted fire never burned anything. How true it is. But give us a heart like the heart of Paul that's in communion with God. A heart that feels the conviction of the will of God. And a heart that feels the compulsion of the Spirit of God. And I tell you, that person will have passion, whether he's a preacher or whatever he is. Whatever he does for God, there'll be the white heat of love for Christ. I wonder today, have we a people who are going through for God? Have we a people today who have burned every bridge behind them and who have said, I'm going through, Lord. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. Have we a people like that? God, give us that kind of a heart. God, lead us in the observance of His day, in the remembrance of His death, in the performance of our duty. And God, lead us in solitude and strengthening to communion, conviction, and compulsion, that whatever we may do all the will of God. We leave the other places in Paul's journey till another occasion. We'll come to them, if the Lord wills, at another time. But I trust today that thus far we'll follow the great apostle, whatever it costs, to please the Lord Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it upon our hearts. Give fruit for the proclamation of it. Save the lost. Restore the backslidden. Speak to those who earnestly desire to follow thee. Lord, enable us to do thy will. How we thank thee that doing the will of God, whether it's in the observance of the Lord's day or whether it's in giving up home and loved ones and going to the ends of the earth, doing the will of God is not burdensome, for Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And we can say with the hymn writer, I've found it so. We thank thee, our God, that when God lays these things upon us, He lays them upon us as a blessing and as a token for good. Lord, enable us to do thy will, and so to glorify Christ and enjoy his blessing. Hear us now. Part us with the blessing of God. Be the abiding portion of all the people of God. And keep us in thy fear and in thy favor until the Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.